Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and I'm rooting for the day that Knifey the Knife finally finds love. You got this, buddy. I believe in you. And with me, I have...
My friend likes you. My friend is a worm.
And...
I think I'm going to do something a little bit more comfortable.
As long as it isn't the fish head again.
It's the fish head again!
We all have one very specific style of humor, and it is late 2000s YouTube LOL random humor. Still thriving after all these years.
Yeah, there might be a lot of things that changed about the state of YouTube and the internet, but the one constant is that every year, there'll be the stealing of cheese. And also H-Bomber Guy for some reason, because he's got to take some side quests away from his upcoming mental breakdown disguised as a video essay. By the way, do y'all know his next video is about Adobe? I only just found that out.
Worth getting around, and not moment too soon, because God, Adobe needs to fucking die.
Good lord, imagine if that actually happens before he releases the video. Like, things just keep happening, and he just spirals more and more.
And also, hey, people from the Amazing Jiggle Circus in there.
Yeah.
I recognize those voices.
It's always fun to hear Michael Kovac and Alex Roshan. Hey, I'm a jet ski! That's probably not spoilers for whatever the hell is going to happen in the next few episodes of Digital Circus, I think. Unless they go on a jet ski adventure.
Which is coming next month.
Oh, shit, right. Oh my god, we're about a month away. I'm not emotionally prepared yet. I haven't recovered from last time. But this isn't that Amazing Digital Circus podcast. Yet. This is Decibel Boost episode 423. So, how's everyone's week been going?
It was busy. It was very busy because holidays come up and people just need an excuse to go out. Not fun. Not fun. And I think I'm at the point now where I'm realizing, you know what? All my stress is starting to really eat at me. I need to take some time to step back and chill the fuck out for once because I have not been well for a while. This happens every so often, but, you know, that's just life for you. It's not fun. But I figure if I can take some time away to do other things, maybe that'll help me. So, you know, one very small step at a time. Maybe going to, like, one movie a week will probably help me. It can't hurt me. Although my choice of movie to start with was it could have been better, so I saw that new Monitor hosted a movie, Scarlet. It is just okay. It is perfectly fine. 3 stars out of 5, when clearly it wanted to be something much, much, much bigger. If only the script wasn't bad. Because it's not that great. Kind of makes me think that Sony is just releasing this to let it die, since it's not going to get any awards or anything like that. Although, funny story, when I went to the theater to see it, a group of women, there were like 7 of them, they were walking into the theater, I was behind them, and I looked on one of their phones, because it was in sight, and they had their ticket on there. It was for Wuthering Heights. They went into the wrong theater, and I'm thinking, okay, how long is it going to take them to figure it out? It took them about 15 minutes to figure out that they were in the wrong theater. They left during the previews. And, you know, in hindsight, I probably should have went and gone and saw Wuthering Heights instead. I mean, at least I know that's going to be a trashy, dumb, fun time, from what I've heard. Whereas with this movie, I was just kind of not that into it. It was just me and one other guy in the theater, so it was not a packed house at all.
Oh dear.
Okay.
Yeah, this movie's just gonna come and go. I was going to see the Charlie XCX documentary The Moment today, but then the theater changed the screen time from 3 o'clock to 3:30, and I realized if I did that, I would be out until 6 on a Monday, which is busy because traffic here sucks, so I'm going to see that later in the week. I'll come back to you next time and tell you all about that movie.
In other words, you could have had a Charlie XCX marathon, sort of, or back-to-back feature in a way.
I mean, I didn't have any screenings earlier last week, so I couldn't if I wanted to.
Fair enough. You know, the funny thing is I didn't even realize The Moment was already out.
Yeah, it had like a limited run over the last couple weeks. Now it's going into more theaters, which is why it's playing, you know, near me now.
I'll have to keep an eye out. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
My week has, well, it's very uneventful. Like I said, work has been a lot. And let's see why. And well, I will say one thing that I fell into is, well, I've been seeing a lot, unfortunately, of all the discourse to come this year, we have a fucking Shrek discourse.
Which, nope. I don't think I want to know. That's what I've said.
Why?
The only kind of discourse I want with Shrek is whether or not he bottoms for Fiona. The correct answer is yes.
All I can say is stupid. Feel stupid. It's even people who either don't know shit about the movie or think to be intellectual when it just being mostly intellectually dumb or just trying to act like they're smart, but they really kind of stupid.
I'm going to go ahead and assume these are the same people who say that Belle from Beauty and the Beast has Stockholm Syndrome.
That too, and also the Little Mermaid Ariel thing, which you already
know. Boy, am I glad I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't follow any of that, and I'm much better off not knowing.
You make smarter choices than us. My brain is irreparably damaged beyond repair. Knifey is a knife, and he loves his wife.
Oh no, my third wife! She's cheating on me! See, that's what I focus on. Dumb, stupid, funny YouTube videos. Not whatever the discourse of the day is with movies from 25 years ago.
Ugh.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing really I can say remarkably. I ain't really seen no movies or nothing like that. Or make it on my shows. That's it.
Fair enough. As for me, well, it was a decently busy weekend, mostly because my roommate's partner flew in for the weekend, and everybody in the house wound up going to the Renaissance Fair. Because, you know, that's the thing places do sometimes. There was plenty of good vibes, lots of armor, I bought an ocarina that totally does not have a Triforce on it, wink. Had lamb skewers, and, you know, just enjoyed the sights and sounds. It was fun, is what I'm saying, and, you know, I'm looking forward to next year, the next Ren Fair. Did I mention lamb skewers? That was some good meat. And, well, I can't really say I've watched much more than, like, the usual stuff, so I won't really continue on the tangent. Instead, we'll get right into the usual stuff, starting, of course, with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there'll be a playlist down in the description so you can follow along with us, pick up some new tunes, mark your calendars for new albums, all of that fun jazz. And we're going to get things started here. In fact, I'm going to throw it over to Mark for this first song, because you chose to drop a Jane Remover track in the chat, I see.
Yeah, so since I figured, one of the albums I was listening to last year was that Danny Moore album, and I know about Jane Remover. I'm actually checking some of theirs, but apparently they're gonna do something with it going as bitchering. Victory, I'm guessing, I want to say it's more rock related. Anyway, she did a song on the Ellie's. It's called, the song is titled In the Dark. In the Dark. And, okay, I will say that it does have this very, like, soft, tranquil, well, sort of tranquil, like, it's very, like, very, like, well, in a way, it's very tranquil. It does lean more towards rock, both rock in a way, very, very, well, not light, but more like, in the sense of like medium, but it's like, ah, okay, I'm like, I don't know, singing, maybe I think it's her or somebody else, it might be her, I don't know, but, okay, it's kind of interesting, this is kind of interesting, I mean, I can definitely see myself, like, okay, that's kind of, it's not what I expect from Jim, from somebody who I first known for mostly doing electronic shit, or at least in a way that's, but yeah, it's like, all I can say is, it's interesting listen, so that's all I got.
Yeah, I can definitely say this reminds me a lot of the stuff we would have in rotation at the university radio station back in the day. This kind of very, like, warm-sounding set of, guitar tones, very, like, you know, kind of emotionally downbeat college radio rock with lush R&B vocals, eventually exploding into more of, like, a fuzzed-out garage rock kind of sound. I can dig it.
Yeah. Just going on to the Wikipedia page for the Venturing album Ghost Holding, it is very much a one-individual project, so it's all Jane, and what's on deck here? Shoegazy guitar pop moves in an indie rock styling. Yeah, I can dig this. Some great things are going on here.
All right, and now we move on to the second track here, which is the exact opposite in terms of vibe. So it looks like the band Lip Critic, a newer name in the music scene, is gearing up for their second studio album coming out May 1st, titled Theft World. So I might have brought this band up like once or twice in a couple episodes, but in case you're unaware, the band debuted proper with the album Hex Stealer in 2024, which had this very like wild, crazy mix of like very maximalist electronic fueled hardcore jams, and even featured a single titled In the Wawa Parentheses Convinced I Am God. So a very normal band, all things considered, and this next album allegedly had a very normal creative process. I'm quoting directly from the Stereo Gum piece by Daniel Chalosky, quote, "While Lip Critic were touring for Hex Dealer, frontman Brett Kaser's identity was stolen and hundreds of purchases had been made in his name, including the band's catalog on Bandcamp. They tracked down the scammer, who turned out to be a young fan in a Five Nights at Freddy's hoodie, convinced that Lip Critic's music contained hidden codes for an elaborate scavenger hunt. They recorded him at a halal spot while he explained this imagined lore, inspiring the group to scrap what they recorded for a new album and start anew. The result is Theft World. And I promise you, I am not having a stroke right now. This is everything written down as is." Now, some of you might be saying, sure, Jan, but again, this is a band that wrote about having an existential crisis while debating whether to get a chicken salad wrap or a chicken parm sandwich and a Coke. So, I don't know. Let's just go with it.
Isn't that just like every Tuesday for most people at Publix?
I do not have to confirm or deny this. How dare you, sir? It doesn't help that the Publix and the Walmart are literally like 5 minutes from each other, but let's get back on track here. Wow. So we have the lead single from this new album called Legs in a Snare. And the beat here is definitely a natural extension of their first album. What you immediately get is that this very bass-heavy kind of sound with the rumble of synths and this kind of a tom kick sort of thing that ripples throughout. Pretty much the only part of, like, the percussion that has any sort of beef to it. Like, the hi-hat and snares are very, like, thin and synthetic sounding. But you do get plenty of squealing guitar-like leads, with the song kind of oscillating between, like, these relatively sparse electronic sections and more, you know, loud and blown-out in-your-face moments. Do not ask me to explain the lyrics or the video in the slightest. they make about as much sense to me as they do to, I don't know, if this is your first time listening to the band.
Well, I don't think anyone's going to hear this song and say it needs more snare. Bad jokes. But, yeah, it's kind of out there. A little too much snare, but, you know, to each their own.
I sincerely hope it has more relatable content about Wawa. Because, you know, we got this, we had that Smiling Friends episode. Wawa's Where Is Dad, people. Anyway, let's move on to something that is significantly more comprehensible, and that is the music of Arm & Hammer rapper Ellucid, who has his newest album, I Guess You Had to Be There, scheduled for March 13th. Friday the 13th. And, of course, it's in collaboration with the producer Sebash. Now we have the latest single from the record, Make Me Wise. And, instrumentally, the production here is mainly very string-driven. A lot of persistent violins going all throughout. This kind of rumbling, you know, slow and low bass string. And you get a lot of these very sporadic, kind of anxiety-inducing punctuations of harp strings. That are just kind of, like, in and out, like, all throughout the song. And, of course, you know, Ellicid's flow is a, you know, very deep voice and has a lot of very abstract lyricisms like Zooted and Booted, America's Last Drive in Cinema, Minister of Culture, Hard Bop Public Enema, Getting Blow Before Noon, I Like to Spark a Lot, United Nation, The Refugees in the Home Depot Parking Lot, which, gee, I wonder what that could be referencing. Hey, I need to take a sip of water, thankfully with no ice in it. Fresh, fortified, built to destroy, permanently feeling a need to cease and to exist, scarcity is a lie of the state, they parent propaganda with pie in the face. Again, I wonder if this is a metaphor for something. But, you know, it's got a pretty solid beat to it, the bars and flow are pretty cool, so yeah, I'm still all in for new Ellicid.
Yeah, same here. I ain't got much to say on this one. It's fucking great. I love hearing the sound on this. And, of course, there's lyrics that I would have looked up to, except Genius said, fuck no, do your damn self. We didn't. But it's just pretty good. Yeah, definitely listening to.
Yeah, it's funny that even Genius can't make sense of this. Or I guess we just gotta wait for the guys with the PhD in Arm & Hammerisms to roll through. But moving on to the next song. So, electronic producer Rusty, a couple years ago, emerged out of, you know, a near decade-long hiatus with his first new song since 2015's Even If You Don't Believe. And now he appears to be posting stuff to his YouTube page pretty much out of the blue. As evidence with not just this song, Amentet, but there was also another song that he released the month prior. But I'm talking about Amentet right here. So, this song, it's got this extremely buzzy low-end bass with a lot of chopped-up crystalline vocal samples trying to break their way through equally, you know, kind of like crystalline walls of melodic synthesizers. And of course, as is usual for his production, it kind of has this very, like, I think this guy kind of foreshadowed hyperpop in a way. You could sort of tell with just, like, how high energy a lot of the electronics is and how just, like, maximalist it all is, which is really interesting considering that the song doesn't really have any percussion to it, but it's still able to kind of, like, convey just this really, you know, intense, energetic feel to it. I'm a sucker for his production, so, like, I think this is a pretty good song.
Please, everybody who makes good quality EDM, IDM, hyperpop dance music, please, for the love of God, make your videos without a whole bunch of flashing lights to them for those of us who don't like that kind of stuff. But, yeah, quality tune here.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Why does the music industry keep trying to kill my co-host? This feels very targeted. This feels like anti-decibel boost slander. Anyway, let's move on to the next track here. Oh, shit, we got a bunch of alarms going off here. Let's see. Larry June. Currency. The Alchemist O'Clock. Oh, shit, that's like a bingo or something, I think.
Yep. And yeah, apparently they all got new coming out this Friday. Yes, all three of them, Larry June, Kersey, and the Alchemist, which surprised me considering, Kersey wrote the Alchemist again. Can we cap things like, the last Alchemist related project that's not on my hammer, that's Freddy Gibbs with Alfredo 2, and on one of the tracks, Freddy Gibbs said will do some shade at the currency of, not promoting the class take Freddy. And now Chris thinking, all right then, I got out, baby, we're gonna do this shit. With this new album, Spiral Staircases, which has an album cover of a spiral staircase. Okay. It got a new joint called Everything's Allocated. Okay. Okay, man. The beat's pretty, it ain't special, but it's like, okay, it's cool. You'll get basic bars from Larry June saying, how they traveling and shit, basically, escargot might do Paris for the winter, physical million, basically, the shit he's been talking about most of his stuff he was talking about. And then we got currency based on, I got smoke room in your bitch crib you've never been in, a couch you never sit in, you ain't not in it, and hang with the grown ups chilling with big kids, the ones who think they like us are nowhere near easier. These niggas at the Weezier often easier. Okay, damn, you just say shit from way back from 2000, okay. I will say the song, I will be, it's written, like, it's not special, but I can listen to it. I do wonder what track is going to be like, or if someone's going to respond. I don't know, but we'll see.
Yep, we will see when the album drops this Friday. Speaking of which, you know what else is apparently dropping this Friday? We got a new Baby Keem album on our hands. Well, not on our
hands
right now. The point is, it's got to be in our hands on Friday. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's been a while since you heard from Baby Keem. I mean, last time I heard from him was either Mr. Morale or, I mean, I'm not working with Tyler in some parts, or I think he's just been, behind the scenes type of guy.
Yeah. I mainly just remember Top of the Morning, which is relevant because Kendrick's on the album as well. So Baby Keem's new album is called Casino, dropping this Friday. And we got a little bit of a preview on it. There's kind of like this extended trailer thing that does have a 2-minute snippet of a song called Good Flirts, which has someone named Momo Boyd. I don't think I remember what that name is supposed to be from.
I said Momo Boyd.
Yeah, don't think I've heard them. I don't know. It's probably going to be something like very oddly specific. But anyway, Mark, you want to tell us what's going on with this preview?
Yeah, This is very hard to find because I get the official snippet, or at least maybe that sounds like the one. Okay, the thing is, the snippet is from this documentary. A couple of amazing movies called Boo Man 1 and Boo Man 2 was released today. The snippet is very towards the end where. We do hear it and of course you hear Kendrick up front center as you can see, the beat had this very eerie sound to it. I'm gonna say that's all I got from it was like it's like a snippet and I thought, okay, like. It's an interesting snippet. I mean, I don't know if it's a little similar or not, considering, again, this was hard to find, or at least I had to make sure to see if it's selling shit, or I'm going to end up sounding stupid, like, I mean, it's sounding stupid, or something like that, but, okay, this ain't bad. Like, you also heard of anything from Baby Keem, but it does seem like something that's, you know, they'll be in this warehouse, but, yeah.
Cool. We'll see how that all plays out when the album drops on Friday. But now we move on to the final track here, and certainly one quite worthy of a fair bit of hype. So, last week, like, literally the day we were recording last week's episode, there were some teasers being dropped by none other than the band Knocked Loose for the drop of a new song called Hive Mind. And of course, later on last week, the song actually came out. And it features a special guest appearance. None other than the king of the mischievous South himself, Denzel motherfucking Curry! Wouldn't be the first time has got his moss shit on, but always welcome to have you around. So, yeah, with this one, we rip right out of the gate with some really rapid-fire drums, some absolutely fat fucking guitar chugs punctuated by pinch harmonics. That really beefy-ass, gnarly guitar tone is still in check, leading us into plenty of fast-paced D-beats, and of course, Brian Garris absolutely howling vocals in the mix. The chorus hits with, you know, that really great, like, nasty metalcore groove with the super like squealy howling guitar leads over top, and the momentum gives us some nice ominous pauses before Denzel lays down some of the hardest bars he's done since, well, probably since the fucking Blood Moon mix, if we're being honest, because, like, yeah, this is absolutely just like, you know, fuck you, I'm hot shit, everybody else sucks, fuck your favorite band and favorite rapper. This is like going all the way to convince us that nu metal absolutely fucking ruled. Cause you even get like you get the fucking like record scratches and like trap drum breaks and everything. And of course, he even does his shit during like this absolutely nasty ass breakdown that the song closes out on, slowing shit down to fucking concrete hard levels with some absolutely nasty growls and bias. And, for some reason, everybody whipping out, airsoft guns to take aim at Kenny Beats for some reason.
It's just a joke, there's no beef, as far as we know.
I don't know, maybe he's upset about how his appearance on The Cave went.
Oh yeah.
Do you need me? Yeah. How else can I stress to you that this shit is a fucking banger? Like, it's going to take a lot to beat this as the most hardest bricks track of the year so far.
Yeah, this shit be pretty hard. Right? You know what? If new metal does come back in a way, get this on Knuckles to the front line. And a matter of fact, like, we'll keep on saying Danny Brown. And JPEG Mafia. If new metal gets resurgence, keep it like this.
Yeah. I will second all of that. This goes hard, and it just gives me a big, goopy smile all throughout. And the top comment on the video says, "We are closer to the Denzel Curry metal album. Here's hoping it happens eventually."
The world will not be prepared.
Yes. And in this case, it will be acceptable to say, everybody want to dig, right? Because in the song, it makes sense in context, okay?
You have the playlist link right there. You have no excuse. Okay, so that about does it for the new song discussions. And now we have to move into the actual big news topic, which is going to be quite a swerve, because, you know, we're riding on a high.
Yeah.
And now we have to get very serious about things. So, to get into the news, If you've spent any amount of time watching the news or scrolling social media, you might be aware of the fallout from the gradual release of the Epstein files, revealing just how much of the world's powerful elites, you know, billionaires and millionaires and people of influence, are basically all trading texts about going to the island, definitely only for the snorkeling. Air quotes. And I swear to God, at this point, like, each new reveal is obviously a new layer of hell, but some of the more recent reveals almost feel cartoonishly evil. Like, what do you mean the guy who heads up the company responsible for school photos is in these files? That's a little on the nose, reality.
Ugh.
Yeah, and you will not be surprised to learn that it has found a way to cross over into the music industry, possibly quite a few ways, but this is the one we're focusing on for now. So, have you heard of a guy named Casey Wasserman? Well, you might have, because he's in charge of a talent agency called Wasserman Music. Well, Wasserman Music technically owns, like, a lot of stuff. I think they only, like, acquired the music agency stuff in, like, the past 10 years or so. But the point is, they have overseen quite a bit of talent within the industry. Just for a small handful of names, you might have heard of artists such as Bethany Cosentino of Best Coast, the Dropkick Murphys, Orville Peck, the band Wednesday, Baby No Money even. And probably the biggest name among them, at least for, you know, people of a certain age, pop singer Chapel Roan. And as you can imagine, as these various artists have been learning about the appearance of Casey Wasserman's name in the Epstein files. Oh god, I'm actually looking at the messages he sent, the emails. I don't want to read that out loud. It's very unsettling, but the point is, as they found his presence in the files, those artists have been exiting in droves. They've been out of there. They're just dipping. They all want nothing to do with this. I think Coldplay and Ed Sheeran might still be attached, but I don't know. And apparently this guy's also in charge of the at least overseeing the 2028 Olympics. Lord knows if that's actually going to happen, though, because last week, well, over the weekend on Valentine's Day, it was discovered that Wasserman is going to sell the Wasserman Talent Agency following the artist's exodus over, you know, his various messages and exchanges with Epstein and mainly Ghislaine Maxwell. And the way he chooses to describe it, at least if we're quoting for the consequence piece, is in a memo he sent to the company, he said, "At this moment, I believe that I have become a distraction. That is why I have begun the process of selling the company." That is a hell of a euphemism to describe all this, isn't it?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Distraction? I am so sick of that word now.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Obviously, it's, like, very disgusting to learn just how much more and more the tendrils of this Epstein shit is just leaking out into everything. Ugh, I can only hope that he actually gets what he deserves. Because, you know, selling the agency seems like the nice way out.
Ugh.
Yeah.
So, our joint stance on this entire mess of everybody involved is very simple. They all deserve to go to prison and die in prison. Full stop. And that's our moderate position. You don't want to know the extreme position. Yeah, as far as this whole thing goes, boy, it feels so disgusting that this cretin is basically bouncing off of all of this to say, I'm going to devote my full attention to the Los Angeles Olympics in 2028, blah, 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 blah. No! Get out! Go to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Go right now.
Yeah. They kind of say, like, yeah, this is just some sick shit. Everybody, sure about the files and who's in them. And I'm just going to say this right now. Whoever in them, you know, the most powerful and, yes, white, very white, really powerful and white people in there, because yeah, it's all just fucked up and sick. Because all the fucked up and sick is y'all using this shit to just create gossip about people who aren't in the files just to shout out names just because you want some clout. Well, this is actually, you know, people look into shit. This is actually journalistic shit with, you know, sources and all that shit. It's not just he say, she say, hearsay bullshit. It's actually people looking into the shit.
Ugh. Fucking disgusting. So, I suppose we'll have to keep an eye out to check in next time if it does get worse. I say if. When. Ugh. This fucking world. So, that'll about do it for the news, and as always, there's one last thing to check in on before the sign-off, and that is the new album releases for the week of February 20th, 2026. First off, at the top, we have the newest album from death metal band Exhumed with Red Asphalt. Apparently, we're getting a new release from Hilary Duff with Luck or something. That's okay. Actually the name of the album. I'm not being dismissive. Well, I'm actually kind of surprised that Hilary Duff is still making music in current year. From singer Peaches, we have No Lube, So Rude. Of course, as previously mentioned, Larry June, Currency, and The Alchemist with their collab album Spiral Staircases. And last but certainly not least, Baby Keem with Casino. Now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. For those who are curious to follow Alex online, there is an @ in the bio. You presumably know how to read. And Mark, where can they find you on the internet?
Of course, at Nightside Media, on Blue Sky, Instagram, wherever you can find me. And of course, my site, my Hyperborn, Hyperborn.com. That's all I got.
Cool. As for me, you can find me on Blue Sky and other places at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@superresolution.com, for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow the website itself on Blue Sky at surrealresolution.bluesky. Visit the website, surrealresolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all of that good stuff. And, of course, be sure to find the link to the Discord server on the site as well, so you can chat about all kinds of things from movies, games, food, all the important things in life. So, yeah, that'll about do it for this week. We'll hopefully be back next week with more of the usual weekly business. And until then, what do you mean Konami remembered how to make games again?